Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Before we get into today's topic, Tiara and I have a couple things that we want to get off of our chests. But before we do that, we just want to send a lovely reminder that our community is now up and running on Patreon. We are a self-help, self-improvement, spiritual community. We are looking for our soul tribe, anyone who is on their spiritual awakening, or anyone who's just looking for general support. Like, we'd love to have you. Tiara and I have been wanting a soul tribe for quite a while now. So please come check us out. We are on www.patreon.com/vibehigher.
You can also get to the community through our website, thegoddessvibrationstudio.com. There should be a link in the menu to get you over there as well. And Allie's right. Like, we've been looking for a soul tribe for some time. And if you're on a spiritual journey, having soul tribe is so important. And it really does make a difference. It's kind of like that added support system for a very unique journey and experience. So please do check us out. We've got lots of great content on there. And you get 7 days for free.
Absolutely. And I think this is actually a perfect segue into something, one of the things that I want to get off my chest. And I would love to discuss, what is spirituality? I think a lot of people have an idea of what spirituality is, or there's a lot of confusion around what spirituality is. I feel like some people think that it has ties to religion. And when you clash those two worlds together, it can get jumbled and confusing. And spirituality is not related to religion. I also feel that spirituality is, you know, what a lot of people are selling, which is, you know, it's about crystals and it's about types of divination, whether that's tarot or dowsing rods, oracle cards, spells, rituals, and of course there's components of all of that, but what spirituality really truly is it's a journey of the self. It's a journey of truth seeking and finding your purpose, why you came to Earth, what's your mission. And that's like the number one thing that spirituality really is the journey of the self. And sometimes we need support in finding ourselves, whether that's through divination or it's through a community or a life coach or hiring a spiritual teacher, if you are unable to do it by yourself. But I want our listeners to just be aware that, like, if people are just selling you, like, oh no, it's all these crystals and you got to do this and you got to do that, you don't have to do anything. It's not about going from one belief to another belief. Like, religion is a belief. And I just want to clarify, and I just want to clear some of that up for our listeners. It's really about you, your journey, finding your true self, what your mission is, why you came here. And if you need tools like crystals or tarot or divination or extra help, then that's okay.
Yes, Allie is absolutely right that spirituality is ultimately a journey of the self. And there's actually a YouTube that I made about this as well. We do have a YouTube channel for those of you guys who might not be aware. And we're doing a new strategy where we're going to be posting some like informational videos on there. They're really fun and witty and lighthearted. But the goal is just to, you know, provide a little bit more wisdom and education out there. But, you know, unfortunately for me, I got caught up in this concept of what spirituality is when I had my initial awakening, because no one's really talking about what it truly is. So you have this awakening experience, and then you kind of start to go out there and you see things like, a lot of this stuff is new age, by the way, crystals and chakras and meditation. And then you think, oh my gosh, that's spirituality. But like Allie said, those are just tools. That's not the spirituality itself. Spirituality is a journey, and it's so much more than those things. So we felt it necessary to kind of clarify that a little bit and educate around that, because there's so much misinformation and disinformation. And unfortunately, no one's really talking about what spirituality really is. And so there's just a lot of confusion. And so we're trying to clear the air a little bit.
Indeed. And the other thing that we also want to get off of our chest, and this actually ties into today's topic, we actually want to talk about what's been going on with TikTok and why people are flocking to this new app called Red Note. It's obviously a very prominent thing. 170 million Americans are on TikTok. And the topic that we also are going to talk about today is authentic expression. So I feel like these two things actually tie in really well together. But I have said it once, I'm going to say it again. I have seen massive shifts in the United States, especially over the past, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, I'll say. And I have been out there traveling the world for the past 10 years, and I have had a very eye-opening experience about America, how other countries view America, how other people view Americans. And I gotta tell you guys, it's not pretty. A lot of it is not pretty, and I honestly see it. As an American myself, I see what these stereotypes are. I see why people have conformed these opinions about Americans. And the shifts that have been made to America is just, I want people to awaken to that and realize, and people are awakening to that with the TikTok ban, but we are being silenced. That's why cancel culture became such a thing. That's why they're trying to ban TikTok, because the way that news gets spread on that app, real news, because the government doesn't have control. This is all about control and trying to take back control from the public. And it's really, really sad because it is against our First Amendment, which is the freedom of speech.
It is. And oh my gosh, I can't tell you the number of times that I saw news on TikTok that was like real news that was happening and had no idea because it wasn't being shown on the mainstream media. Like so many things, especially things happening in other countries that don't get shown here in the United States. I honestly relied on TikTok for a lot of that stuff. So, you know, the conspiracy goes that ultimately is one of the major reasons why the government wants to shut TikTok down. And another thing about TikTok is that there's this sense of community there too that I honestly haven't seen on other platforms. Like, it's just more cohesive, and it seems like everyone kind of has the same central focus, which is just getting information out there, being a neighbor, being a friend, like supporting each other. Like, that energy is on TikTok too. So to take that away is, it's a pretty massive blow, unfortunately. And it's one of the things that's driving people to a similar space. And the next closest thing seems to be something called Red Note. But there's another one too called Lemonade. I haven't tried that one. I haven't really looked into it. Apparently, it's also owned by the same people who own ByteDance, the same people who own TikTok, which is ByteDance. But this other one is strictly Chinese. And it's funny to me that the government is over here saying, oh my gosh, we have to shut down TikTok because national security, because China. And here we are, hundreds of thousands of people or more going over to Red Note, which is wholly owned by China. So it's just kind of funny to see that happening. And as of this recording, TikTok is scheduled to be completely shut down in the United States, sadly. But I know things change. I know something could potentially change. My concern, though, is even if that doesn't get enforced, or even if TikTok decides, hey, let's just, you know, leave things as is and see what happens here in the next year or so, I don't know if TikTok is going to be the same. Like, I really don't.
Well, I'm under the impression that the only way that they're going to allow TikTok is if TikTok agrees to sell.
Right. And I don't think there has yet been a decision, like a final decision made by the U.S. Supreme Court, again, at this recording. So, you know, it's so up in the air right now. But yeah, they're going to have to sell to, like, a U.S. person if TikTok wants any chance at all in the future. And I know that there are some contenders. Like, I think maybe Elon Musk was one of those, which I would really not prefer. But, you know, who knows?
So, yeah, I think that this is a really eye-opening experience for the Americans. And I feel like this is a big catalyst for the American people to wake up and kind of see in real time, like, wow, we really don't have freedom of speech. We really don't have as much power or control of our lives that we thought we did. This is all power moves from the cabal, from some of the most powerful and richest people on the planet, to keep us contained and controlled and to be slaves to their little matrix.
Absolutely. And, you know, I did dip a toe in Red Note, and I do have an account over there for any of you guys who are curious and interested. It's just under my name, Tiara Earls. And Allie, I am seeing some of that stuff that you're talking about, like Americans having this aha moments, or like almost like this collective awakening about how we really don't have freedoms the way we think we do, because people in China are sharing their experiences. They're sharing how affordable their food is. They're sharing how beautiful their cities are. And people are just kind of like, wow, this is not what we are shown in the United States. Wow, we are being lied to. And it's just been so interesting to observe some of that discussion and conversation over there. Like, I have seen a couple posts from some Chinese individuals, and they're just asking things like, hey, is it true that minimum wage over in the United States hasn't been raised in a long time? Is it true that healthcare is this unaffordable? Is it true that so many Americans are working two, three, four, five jobs? Is it true? And people are over there sharing their experiences. And it's almost like a culture clash, but like a melding of the cultures, and that more people are learning how others live, their lived experiences, and also learning how shielded they've been from other parts of the world and how the narrative is so controlled. And so it's just been so interesting to observe.
Yeah, do you want to actually hear something crazy that I did see on Breadnote where, and I have no idea if this is true, but I would actually believe it to be true, that once the Chinese, like, say, buys their house, for example, so obviously they have mortgages, and once that mortgage is paid off, you own that place forever, meaning you no longer have to pay property taxes on it. You don't have to pay any rent. You don't, like, all you have to pay is your bills, and you own it, and, like, you don't ever have to worry about, like, losing your job. You don't have to worry about ever being evicted. You don't have to worry about paying property taxes. You don't have to worry about any of that. It's like, once you pay off your property, you're done paying everything on it.
You know what? I have seen that, and I was like, that one did blow my mind, because I had no idea. And apparently, I think there's a lot of truth to it, that if you buy a home, you don't pay property taxes like you do here. And I've seen a little bit of chatter about that. And some of the Chinese were like, what? Are you serious? Like, you buy a home and you still pay on it, even if
it's paid for?
And we were just like, yeah. And another one that was also very interesting is the whole concept of the social credit score, or the social credit system, where, so the theory goes, and this is what we've been told here in the United States, that in China, they have a social credit score, which tracks, like, not only, like, your spending and stuff, but if you do things like commit crimes or do something bad in society, that they keep track of all that. And then you're given, like, this score in their society. And I have seen Americans ask this, and the Chinese are like, what are you talking about? What is a social credit score? We have no such thing. And I'm just like, what?
That is actually true. That is, that's actually a true thing in China.
Okay, wait, that it is? That there is a social score, or that there is not?
That there is not.
Okay, yeah. And so that's also been, like, an awakening moment for a lot of Americans, including myself, that we've been given this narrative about things like that, that are just completely false. And it's honestly blowing my mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is why I've always encouraged anyone who knows me personally to go travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot can be learned. So this is actually a great segue into our topic today. Tiara wanted to talk about freedom of speech and self-expression and blockages in the throat chakra, because we do see a lot of the country awakening and expressing their freedom of speech and their outrage, but there's a lot of people out there who are still very afraid to speak authentically or speak up or talk about their feelings. And I'm not 100% sure why.
You know, I had this issue, and, you know, in some ways I still do a little bit, just depending on what it is. And when I had my initial awakening, like, I knew I was having all these profound experiences, but I also knew that these weren't things I could talk to about with regular people or even, like, friends and family, because I always had this fear in the back of my mind that I would be looked at as cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And in our society, again, I'm referring to the West, when you show behavior that's out of the ordinary, or that's, like, not woo-woo, but just unusual, or have these beliefs that don't really have any substance in reality, it can be looked at as crazy, and you can be considered, you know, crazy or insane or schizophrenic or delusional. And so I think collectively we kind of have this fear that we're going to be judged that way, which is so unfortunate, because, you know, your truth is your truth, and someone shouldn't feel afraid to share their truth because of how they think they'll be treated, or because they think they'll be deemed crazy. Like, if it's your truth, then it's your truth, whether others might deem it as crazy or not. But getting to a place where you can overcome that fear is not easy. And it took me years to overcome that. And I still, to this day, don't speak to everyone about some of my spiritual, supernatural experiences and my journey, just because I still don't fully feel comfortable doing that with everyone. Like, there's this level of trust that's needed. I noticed that more or less I feel comfortable sharing that kind of stuff with other people who are on the spiritual journey, which I think is, you know, pretty normal. That's, again, why we are pushing for a soul tribe. But I know that that kind of thing and overcoming that fear when it comes to authentically expressing your truth and the things that you're dealing with, especially when it's spiritual, is a process.
It absolutely is a process. I keep it to myself only because A, I'm a very private person, but B, I definitely experience some of that fear in people probably are going to look at me and think that I'm crazy. And it's not a good feeling because you want to fit in, especially for people like Tiara and I, who have been so outcasted since we were so young. Like, we already grew up feeling like we didn't belong in society. So it was like, why add fuel to the fire?
Right.
By talking about, you know, spirituality or things that are considered woo-woo, or people are just going to look at us being like, yeah, you guys belong in a nut house.
Right.
So I get that. But eventually we got over it, which is why we actually started this podcast.
Yes. And even if you go and listen back to our episodes, especially season one, there's a lot of stuff that the average person would probably consider out there. Like, what, you spoke to a dead celebrity for how long? And what, he's soul family? Like, what is all this? Like, it's like, I'm not going to lie, some of that stuff is quite out there, but it's all true. And it's the experience that we've had. So for us, the focus has always been on being authentic and sharing our truths. And, you know, again, I know that that's a process to get to, but doing so is something that not only lifts a weight off of you, but it's also a way to honor yourself. Because when you always are existing in the state of, oh my God, I can't share anything, I need to hide this, I need to keep this to myself, you kind of end up self-isolating and you kind of end up lonely and it's hard to connect to other people. So I really encourage anyone who has unique stories or experiences to find a way to express that or find other people who can relate to some of that. And it does go a long way. When you can at least find someone that you can express some of that stuff with, it does help slowly build confidence for expressing that in other ways.
It does. And our first season, there was a lot of out there stuff.
It was so out there. But it was fun to talk about. And like, we didn't hide or sugarcoat or lie about anything. Like, everything is real. All of it.
You know, I don't really want to get off topic, but I actually kind of want to talk about that. The thing about spirituality, and I think something that really kind of clashes between the general public and spiritual people, is that people always are looking for proof. And people are like, well, how do you know that? And it's just like, I just instinctively know. And people just kind of look at you and they're just like, yeah, okay. But
oh my gosh.
No, that really is a thing, because I mean, that's another thing about spirituality. So I guess this is kind of going to be tied into this episode too, is that no, that we can't prove anything. And there's nothing, you know, there's no written document that we can like show the public. It's just, that's the thing about doing the journey of the self. You find your truth and you know it to be true regardless of what other people are going to say or what other people think of you.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the whole concept of proof, because we obviously live in a society that likes proof, likes evidence. Mm-hmm. And I actually ended up getting banned from a Reddit subreddit because of a similar concept. You know, the subreddit was a spiritual subreddit, but I posted something just to get people's thinking and get people to kind of consider these narratives that they've been told around spirituality and around specifically something called the savior complex, or this idea that humanity is going to be saved by external beings and aren't going to have to do anything to earn that type of salvation. I don't know why this was so triggering to one of the mods, but it was. And the way it went down was another individual challenged me for proof and evidence. And I was like, I don't understand. You know, this is a spiritual subreddit. There isn't any. And I got challenged on that for not having evidence or proof when there isn't any evidence or proof for any concept in spirituality. So I did end up getting banned. And, you know, like, I don't care ultimately. I know that the stuff that me and Allie talk about kind of goes against the grain, not only when it comes to the general public, but when it comes to the modern conception and idea of spirituality. Like, we still go against the grain. So I it wasn't that surprising that they had an issue with what I said. I did think being banned was a little extreme, and I did get unbanned eventually. But it just goes to show how, like, these ideas when it comes to proof and evidence and, you know, sharing narratives and sharing your story can be so complex and complicated because of the way we deem this need for validation and, you know, something that can be documented as, like, solid evidence. And so it's just, it makes the things a little bit more complicated, but it's doable. You just have to understand that your truth is your truth. If it's something that resonates within you and it feels right to you, then it is what it is. You take that with you and you carry that.
That's actually why I brought it up, because I knew Tiara had been banned, and I was like, this is actually a really good segue into talking about proof and triggering people.
Yeah, you know, like, I know that the moderator was totally triggered, and it's so funny because I actually ended up talking to him in a separate chat, and he had, like, a whole vendetta against me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a subreddit. It's not that serious. Let's just have a conversation. Like, I'm not claiming to be an expert or to be the know-all. It's just a conversation. But, you know, obviously a lot of the things that we say can be triggering, and we understand that.
We've had a whole episode on triggering. Listen, guys, honestly, like I said, being triggered is a blessing in disguise. It's unpleasant, and I understand the, you know, no one really enjoys it, but it's a sign that something needs to be looked at, something needs to be worked on from within. And I'm just going to ask that you don't run from it. Please, please stop running. Everyone needs to stop running.
Look, I can't sit here and say I never ran, because,
oh, I know.
When I say that I ran, man, I had, like, cleats and I was like a track star. Like, I ran.
But, oh, I know.
Allie knows. But no, she's right. Like, running doesn't get you anywhere. And Allie, you've said this in the past about how even if you do run, it's all going to catch up to you anyway. Oh, yeah. So just, you know, look at what the trigger is telling you. You might find some very interesting things about yourself. I know I did. And I welcome that. And at the end of the day, as much as it sucks initially, I appreciate what it showed me.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's that, like, there's light at the end of the tunnel with this. Like, it's unpleasant in the beginning, but then you start to work through it, and then you start to heal, and then you start to feel better about yourself. That's the thing about running. Like, running just delays the problems. like all the issues, all the internal issues that you have inside, all the unhealed trauma, the issues, the problems, the victimhood. By running, all you're doing is delaying the process, because guess what? You running, whether that's physically or mentally running, it's always going to catch up to you because it hasn't been addressed and it hasn't been healed. And so it just kind of sits there waiting for you to draw attention to it. And be, it's just like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere until you deal with it.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about that is that oftentimes those, the same lesson will come back to you in different ways, or it could come back to you in the same way in a different person. So it's so important to try to fight that urge to run. I know that urge is strong in some people, especially if you're like one of the more stubborn individuals, or you've got like one of those stubborn sun signs or rising signs. I think I actually have a stubborn sun sign and rising sign. So a lot of that kind of made sense, but you got to fight that urge. And that's why we have this community, because we want to provide that support system for people who want to do things like fight the urge to run, or know that there's more deeper work they need to do, but they just know they need that additional, push, or maybe they're at a plateau and they just need something to get them over that next step. Like, that's something that we really, really want to support when it comes to the Higher Vibe Tribe. So please stop running, guys.
Yes. And also, I want to highlight the fact what running actually does to you, especially when it comes to authentic expression, because I can guarantee you that like probably 99% of the population has absolutely no idea that they all have throat chakra issues. And the throat chakra is authentic expression. It actually is a really important tool. And the throat chakra was actually a really hard chakra for me to open and balance and overcome. I think it was actually like one of the last ones that really was blocked. And it took a lot of willpower. It took a lot of healing to be able to open it and unblock it. And this podcast actually was a really big help for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you segued into the throat chakra, because it's also been a big issue for me as well. And the interesting thing about the throat chakra is that it also covers like listening and hearing. And if you are carrying these distorted perceptions, you might hear something and perceive it completely different from what was originally intended. And I initially didn't realize that, but ultimately that's a throat chakra issue as well. So it does take a lot of willpower and work to overcome some of those blockages. And I have the sinking suspicion, especially for myself, that I might have something called a witch wound, which is essentially a wound that can be carried from a prior life if you were a witch, or you carried beliefs and you were persecuted for them. So I know in our history here in the West, we have a little bit of a past around persecuting witches or people who dabbled in some of those more esoteric beliefs. And that can have a karmic impact. So it does take a lot of energy and courage to work through those. A lot of the stuff also for me was just around authentic emotional expression, especially since in myself, my emotions have been heavily repressed. So there was issues around that. So there could be multiple things feeding the throat chakra blockage. But just as Ali mentioned, this podcast has been so important when it comes to overcoming some of that, or at least getting the ball rolling so that I can work through some of these issues.
Yeah, it's like what Tiara said earlier. I mean, our first season, we talk a lot of out there stuff. We talk a lot about some out there stuff that I'm sure probably turned a lot of people off.
You know, I was thinking about that, about how, you know, in many ways, we're fortunate to live in a society that lets us say these things and doesn't go burn us or hang us or persecute us for it the way that was done in the past. So in some ways, a lot has changed. I just think that in other ways, it hasn't, you know, when it comes to freedom of speech and trying to control the narrative in the United States in particular. But we do have much more privilege in doing that than was available in the past. So I think it's important that we try to take advantage of some of that, especially if it means it's helpful for us or healing for us in our throat chakras. So I've actually seen some people talk about wanting to write a book or wanting to share their experiences publicly, whether it was just a really interesting upbringing or a terrible or tragic upbringing, or just, in the case of myself and Allie, these profound spiritual experiences, and just not being able to pull the trigger because they're afraid of how it will look. Once you do it and once you get over that fear, it is so incredibly rewarding, and it opens doors for other things because now you're being true to yourself. You're being more authentic, and energetically, you're going to attract more things that are in alignment with that intention. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to just work through those fears and overcome those, since, you know, as we know, most fears are delusions or illusions, because it's going to be so beneficial for you and it's going to feel amazing. It's going to be like this weight has lifted off of you.
So, TR, can you share like some of the ways that you have overcome, like opening the throat chakra, getting rid of that fear, becoming more expressive?
You know, I've been doing this dance with fear around if the fear is valid or not. And I don't know if we've talked about the fear test yet, but essentially, if you're afraid of something or you're scared and it stops you, you kind of have to sit back and evaluate, okay, there's this fear here. Why is this fear here? Is my life in danger? Is my health in danger? Yes or no? If it's no to either of those things, then you got to sit and say, okay, is this fear a delusion? So that has helped. In the past, I took upon myself to do some journaling, which, as silly as that sounds, actually does help with working through the throat chakra blockages. And most of it was just me sharing my experiences and some of the things I've learned. And it actually was very, very therapeutic. It was one of the most therapeutic things I've done. Because I was so emotionally repressed, authentic expression when it comes to like my needs and my emotions was much, much harder. I'm still working through those, but I've kind of got to this place now where I'm just like, you know, I'm tired of not honoring my needs. I'm tired of shielding what I want to say because I'm afraid of what someone might think or feel or hear. Like, I'm tired of doing that to myself. I notice, and Allie actually mentioned this, that when you start just being honest and authentic about your needs, about what you're witnessing, about your boundaries, life is just easier. Things are easier. So I know that that has also been really impactful for me. I'm still working through a little bit of authentic expression around emotion, just because there's still a lot of repressed emotion here. But I do try to honor my needs and some of the things I'm feeling and expressing those, especially if it comes to like violating my boundaries in some kind of way. And that alone is like very empowering, and it goes a long way.
It absolutely does. And If you guys haven't figured out by now, I've played a very big role in Tiara's transformation. Not that it's funny, it's just, you know, it's really kind of, the reason why I'm sharing this is really to highlight the support that we have given each other throughout this and how much we have evolved because we've had the support of each other. And that's something that we wanted to do in our community. And because I just had a very different upbringing from Tiara, and I broke free of the Matrix a long time ago, over 10 years ago now, which is wild. And, you know, I've met a lot of people throughout my travels who have just been really inspired by me and my story and the experiences that I have had and gone through. Like, it's important, if it's not me or Tiara or our community, it's important to find inspiration, find things that inspire you to live more authentically, to speak more authentically, to find peace in your life, because life doesn't have to be anxiety and stress and worry and all of these things that so many people are in that energy right now, because it's like people don't know how to survive. People don't know, you know, where their next paycheck is, you know, like if their next paycheck is going to be enough for them to eat. And it's like, this is the energy that's out there. People don't know how to survive. People don't know how to make money. People don't know how to, people are always uptight. And as long as you stay in that energy, which is what the cabal wants, as long as you guys stay in that energy, it's going to be very, very hard to break free of the matrix and to live authentically and find your true self and find your true purpose.
She's absolutely right. You know, I was one of the most stressed people I've ever known. That's kind of sounds kind of crazy. But no, I was one of the most stressed people ever. And, you know, I came from a family where there was just sort of this energy of being stressed and overworked. And, you know, obviously most of my relatives were matrixed. So when you're matrixed like that, you kind of fall into this pattern of stress. And as Ali said, trying to figure out how to put food on the table and rise up higher in the corporate ladder. And all of that stuff is so much pressure. And it kind of got passed down to us children. And to this day, we're still working our ways out of that. But stress is crazy. And what it does to the mind and the body is more profound than I think most people really realize. And as I try to come out of that energetic state, I'm learning a lot about what being in that state for so long has done to me. Not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally. You know, we talked about burnout in a couple prior episodes, and to this day, I'm still recovering from it. So it's so important to find an out and find a way to step out of the matrix and honor yourself and your needs and your calling and what you're feeling within. Because once you start doing that, other things will start to align for you. You just have to have trust and faith that, I know this is harder said than done, that the universe has got your back and that you're supported and that you are meant for better things and that you can manifest the life that you want. It's not going to happen overnight, which disappointed me initially. But as long as you continue to work through it, eventually you'll get to a place where you're feeling so much more peaceful. You just have to take that initial step. And oftentimes it seems like once people have an awakening, that initial step is, how can I speak authentically and find my voice? Which is interesting. I just realized that.
I would say that that's part of it. But also, like, Tiara just learned this from me the other day when we were in discussion, where I had said to her, you know that authenticity is the highest frequency on like the emotional frequency scale? And she was like, no, it's not. It's unconditional love. And I said, no, it's not. It's authenticity. And Tiara was like, holy shit. She had no idea.
No, I did. And I thought it was unconditional love because I don't know if that's just what New Age is saying. I think it is. But yeah, I had no idea. I always thought it was love or unconditional love, or some places will say, oh, it's your twin flame love. That's the highest frequency. But yeah, I had no idea about that.
So it is really important, you guys, like, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be us if we don't resonate with you, but you shouldn't do the journey alone. You can do it alone. It's just, it's harder to do it alone. I know that I hit tons of roadblocks trying to do it by myself, and I got frustrated and I got annoyed and my ego got a little bruised, but I realized the importance of support. I think for me, I've always been a hyper independent person. And I struggle asking for help. And, you know, a lot of it comes from being not wanting to be a burden or just trauma. And I say that actually probably a lot of people struggle asking for help. And when I was doing my own personal consciousness work and, you know, doing some of my spirituality work, I was just like, no, I'm going to do this by myself. Like, I have to figure this out by myself because I, A, don't really have anyone to support me. B, if I find support, like I just, again, it's a privacy issue too. I'm just a very private person. And C, it was just more like, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. And I also feel like a lot of people are like that, especially if you're a hyper independent person like myself. It's very hard to ask for help, and it's really hard to look for that support. And some of it for me also was very much tied to ego, and I'm not going to deny that.
Oh, I'm the same. Like hyper independent, super independent. Asking for help was just not in my vocabulary. It was like, I need to do it myself, or I just don't do it. That's like my entire life. That's how I live.
Yep.
Yeah. And once you get to that place where, at least for me, I had to ask for help, like, it eviscerated my ego. I don't know why, but it just, of the many things that eviscerated my ego, one of them was needing to ask for help. I don't know why that's so common. I think it's just because, particularly in the West, we have this individualistic society and thinking, and people internalize that, and it gets to a point where people just, they don't ask for help like they should, unfortunately. So there's an aspect of societal programming that must be overcome too.
The ego is a very interesting thing. It really, really is. And there's just a lot. There's a lot that goes into the spiritual journey, and, you know, kind of having a quote unquote ego death. And this is actually something else that I feel like in spirituality or New Age, they get it wrong. You guys, you will never kill your ego. Your ego is always going to be a part of you. The fact that people think that I can kill my ego and it's never going to be a problem again. No, the ego is always going to be a part of you. The key to the ego is to manage the ego, to make the ego, to find balance with the ego, because we actually do need ego. Just like, you know, we need to work from our feminine and our emotional side, we also need the masculine. We need our ego. So yes, in the beginning, you are going to have a quote unquote ego death. Like, you are going to have to try to do everything you can to suppress it, because the ego is going to fight you at every turn in this journey, telling you this isn't right, or you're right, they are wrong, or like the ego is going to try to protect itself. And I would say that that's probably one of the biggest and hardest parts of the spiritual journey, is trying to figure out how to suppress your ego so you can look further inward to be able to really discover what's down there. And work on your triggers and work on your healing and find authentic expression and tell your ego just to shut up sometimes, because I also came from a very egoic place. I was very competitive. In many ways, I still am. There was lots of things that, like, I have spent my life, like, trying to climb up the corporate ladder, trying to be very good at sports, trying to be good at video games, because I'm a gamer. So, like, of course, those are all ego-driven things. And it is very hard to suppress that, to be able to do that inner healing work that Tiara and I have been talking about in this episode, because it does come from our emotional side. It does come from our feminine energy. And a lot of people, I don't think, really realize that. It's like, we have to figure out our own desires, and we got to figure out healing and why we're here. That's part of the spiritual journey. And that all comes from the feminine and the emotional side of us. So I hope that this episode has brought some light to kind of what's happening in society and why people are awakening and what people should be doing with your awakening. Is that, you know, if you can, whether you can do it by yourself or whether you can't do it by yourself, like, Tiara and I are here for you. This is why we have the community. And if you guys need any assistance or if you have any questions, please email us. You can go to our website. We both have individual emails and we have our general email. So there's 3 emails on there. Reach out to us. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. If you guys follow us on TikTok, that's where we do have Instagram. We also have YouTube. And then we both have accounts on Rednote. We both just started the accounts on Rednote. Come check us out there as well.
Yes, please do. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Everyone, have a great week.